Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for April 4th. You know it's a big show when we've got Sean Ross Sapp, the final Sapp, back here to talk. So
the final Ross, the final Ross, the final Sapp doesn't even
work. Is that what I said?
I
mean, you're kind of both sappy. There now.
I mean, I don't have any kids, but I'm not like the last one. I am the final Ross. There will never be another Ross after me. My God.
Okay. I was just sure that you were paying attention. No, I wasn't. I was screwing that up. But I am going to tell you that it is our SmackDown post show for April 4th. We've got a lot to talk about. Kevin Owens, unfortunate news that he'll be needing neck surgery. Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte, whoo, a wild one tonight. And of course, some scoops just about the show in general that you can find on FightfulSelect.com. But normally, this is when I give you the hard sell, but we've got someone else who can do it better than I can over here. But I will tell you, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats, do leave a thumbs up on this video. You guys showed out big time last week for us. Tons of chats, over 8,000 of you on YouTube alone tuning in. We appreciate it so much as we are a couple weeks out from WrestleMania. But we've got Cardoza here too. We're going to say hi to him. It's 90 degrees in North Carolina. How are you doing down there? Are you melting yet?
I am doing excellent. I'm feeling sexy, and I'm ready to bring some type of funk into this SmackDown show.
Let's go. Let's go. Happy Friday to the Bangs, the Clav, and the Rage, Tom LaVallee says. So let's start off with the biggest news, maybe the most unfortunate news here first. Unfortunately, Kevin Owens tonight coming out and announcing that he needs neck surgery. He's been working hurt for the past 4 months. If you've been watching his work, you know that he's been sacrificing his body a lot on top of that. Huge blow to the product. My heart just breaks for that guy. And what he does for a performer, what we hear about him, or that I've heard at least, about the caliber of man that he is and the integrity that he brings to wrestling and locker rooms. Like, he's just one of the best presences that you can have around wrestling. So best wishes to him, healing up, taking care of himself there. But Sean, I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it had to be pretty bad if Kevin Owens isn't going to work through it for WrestleMania. And he's been dealing with this for quite a while, but he actually hasn't worked the last 4 or 5 weeks, hasn't wrestled the last 4 or 5 weeks, I should say, since Elimination Chamber and that non-sanctioned match. I don't know exactly when it happened or anything like that, but I mean, the number of people that are bummed about this for him in WWE are immense. It's disappointing. I mean, it's news that emerged today. I think PWN had broken it. And then as I'm asking around, it was one of those situations where a lot of people that I talked to kept it kind of close. They're like, yeah, he's hurt, but let him say what he needs to say, because he maintains that level of respect and all that. But it sucks. It's such a bummer. Everybody likes him in that company. Almost everybody, I can say. I can't say everybody because I don't know everybody, but I never hear anybody say anything bad about this guy, and he just works really hard. He compliments you for watching the show. He makes you feel smarter for watching the show, even when sometimes the rest of the show doesn't. And I just have an incredible amount of respect for him, and I hate that that happened. I am very interested in what this means for Randy Orton. We saw him get physical with Nick Aldis. I mean, listen, if Nick Aldis wants to wrestle, he would be absolutely good to go and sure. would probably have a killer match with Randy Orton. I don't know what direction that will go, but it's just so unfortunate to see that Owens got hurt.
Yeah, there's just like you said, he just makes the product so much better. And I was thinking about his past WrestleManias, right? Stone Cold Steve Austin main eventing in a tag match with his best friend. And also the other things that he can give you, like a 5-minute promo about a banana that he's cutting on Aleister Black, and the Ezekiel angle, and making all of that work. Like, he's such a dynamic wrestler, and his value, just like we kind of can't speak to enough of. But Tim McFowell saying, money's for the Bangs, Clavs, and the Sour from the birthplace of KO. If we never get to see KO in the ring again, everything truly does suck. That's tough, because this isn't a broken leg or a torn ACL. It's a neck injury, and we've seen some incredible comebacks from those, and we've also seen complications from those. It took Kyle O'Reilly a really long time to come back from what he was dealing with in his neck and spine area. But either way, just health and happiness to that guy for sure. But
yeah.
Get in your super chats and humper chats. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. You had mentioned Randy Orton and who he goes on to face. I am going to throw out that I want him to face Carmelo Hayes. I feel like the legend killer should turn around and be the legend and go after the young guys in a really fun way. I feel like if he can't pay off the story that you've been building to, like, elevating some young talent would be really fun. Cardoza, do you have any thoughts on what you want to see Randy Orton do, or are you just kind of like, let's see how it plays out the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I would rather see where, I mean, we literally got about a week, so just to kind of see what story they tell. I mean, it's Randy Orton. I mean, you can put him in the ring with a broomstick and he's going to give you a 5-star match.
It's true. Let's see Randy Orton versus a broomstick. Let's see. Yeah, I mean,
we did get Orton and Carmelo a few weeks ago, so yeah. I just wish they would book Carmelo more consistently.
To win?
I whine about it every week on the show.
I mean, he beat R-Truth, he beat Tozawa, and he won the tag match, and then beat Braun by DQ. But like, you know, then he ate a pin later in the night. Like, it's been better. I'll say that it's been better. Like, if you go back, like his last 10 matches, the best you can say is that he's lost like 3 or 4 of them. And then there's been like 2 that went to no contest or DQ, all that stuff. It's the weird, it's not 50-50 booking. It's like 33-33-33 booking for Carmelo Hayes. It's that weird, weird.
It's some Steiner math booking is what it is. He's got a 33 and a third chance for sure. For sure. But Meet Norvis saying, no time for pleasantries. Let's crank. We're just cutting right to the chase with Meet Norvis today, saying prayers up for KO. Never a good time for neck surgery, much less now. I'm sad. So show me some clavs. Hi, SRS. My goodness. Early in the night. Oh, look
there
at
you go.
Sean, it's not early anymore. We're back, you know, we're back to norm.
It's true. Certainly not in like our 8 p.m. start time like we were in last week.
If I'm checking my clock right now, we're really close to collision starting. So yeah.
True. Well, let's let's talk some Fightful Select. We got more people that have joined us here now. We had our scoops thread returning. We're in good shape there. Lots to talk about on this show tonight. Sean, why would I tell people about it when you're the scoopster and you're here right now? Why don't you let people know some of the scoops we had over there on the old $5.99, as it were?
The best $5.99 a month in the business now. But we had the return of the SmackDown scoops thread, had a rundown of the show. We have a spoiler-free version and a spoiler version. Told you how long these segments were going to be. Some elements of it, like, for example, we'll note when there's a producer assigned for a segment, which usually indicates physicality. So for Kevin Owens' segment, there was a producer assigned. Now, that wasn't for Owens. It was for KO and Adam Pearce. And that's basically because they streamline the physicality in those situations. But we had the scoops thread today. We had free agent news on TJP. We confirmed that he is, in fact, a free agent. Every single week, it feels like we got contract news, free agency news. Last week, we revealed that Mariah May is in a contract year. This week, we revealed that Karrion Kross is in a contract year. Tomorrow, we are going to have producers, writers, a lot of backstage news on SmackDown, including Tiffany and Charlotte, of which we are about to discuss. And then this weekend, AEW Dynasty scoops thread, a whole lot of stuff. If you've never been there for one of our AEW pay-per-view scoops threads, it's incredible. But on the video content side of things, there's preview shows, review shows, all for Dynasty. And I'll be over in our Fightful Select Discord giving you betting tips. That'll be on the scoops thread too. But also, I'm there chatting throughout the entire show. I go a little bit more silent on other social media during that, and I'm over there talking directly with you guys. But I will have more on this Tiffany and Charlotte thing, which is already edited out of their digital segment on WWE's YouTube.
Yeah, that one felt like it went off script, and we're going to talk all about that later in the show, but... stay tuned to Fightful Select for more updates on what is to come there. You mentioned Dynasty this week, and we're going to tell you about the betting odds on BetOnline.ag a little bit later in the show. But we do sometimes have those underdog lock picks on FightfulSelect.com. So as Sean's giving you the sell, I'm coming in. He's got the right hook. I'm coming in with the jab here to tell you. Also, if you want to make some money, you might want to stay on FightfulSelect.com. That subscription's going to pay for itself if you pay attention over there. But some love from Kim Gray, who says, hi, Kate. Hi, Cardoza. Hi, SRS. Hi, Kim Gray. We'll say it right back at you.
Hi, Tom Kim.
Can you confirm this from Tom LaValle, who says, Yoshinko to WWE. SRS, is that possible?
It's always possible, especially considering the nature of which New Japan does their contracts. Like, I'm shocked that for years they have gotten away with it for so long, up until... like lately when they lost to Ospreay, they lost Okada, you know, and then of course the big purge in 2019. I think if anything has been evident in the last 9 years, it's that New Japan should probably adjust how they do their contracts structures, because they just get run through with regularity. Now, we do have a Fightful Presents video on that, the New Japan exodus to WWE. Check that out, guys. But anything's possible, but I wouldn't expect it. I am not like looking at Shingo and going like, you know what? WWE bound. Dude's will be 43 this year. I don't think he's the type of person WWE is going to bring in. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
So that one was about Yoshinko, not Shingo.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay. Yoshihiko.
No, it's Yoshihiko. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I Yoshihiko. Can't
yeah. Yeah. You read that a little bit off. I thought it was Shingo. Yoshihiko probably stands more of a chance. There you go.
In DDT. Sorry. The dyslexia gets me sometimes. My apologies for that. But Darren Lloyd also setting us up for one other thing to talk about tonight. So Punk's favorite at War Games was to have Heyman in his corner for a match he did not know he had yet. Well, I think maybe it was just to win back Paul Heyman in general, but the other kind of biggest aspect coming out of tonight, and this is less Scoopski related, but certainly want to get your thoughts as this story is rolling down the hill into WrestleMania with Punk being back in Chicago, Roman Reigns still getting a huge pop in Chicago. That kind of surprised me. Like, he was still extremely over despite that being Punk territory. What are your thoughts on the favor? I was kind of hoping it was going to be more title shot related, maybe down the line, but we are in a full love triangle with Paul Heyman at this point.
What I hope that they explain with this and with what the hell did The Rock have to do with John Cena doing what he did is at what point did CM Punk decide on this? Because, you know, a lot of the naysayers are going to be like, oh, a match he didn't know that he had. I mean, he could have had that in mind, but, you know, also he could just simply be lying and had a different favor in mind until this situation presented itself. Like, it's completely possible that that's the case, but
it's
yeah,
not a bad thing to have favors in your back pocket. I'll just put it that way. It's good to have people owe you.
Sure. And I don't know exactly how I feel about it. It is funny that this is the same week that Bret Hart said, man, they do way too much acting in AEW. And I'm like, this whole thing is, come on, wise man. Tell him, wise man. Are you crying, wise man? Like, you know, that, like, this is what WWE has leaned on for the last 5 years, especially with this Bloodline storyline, is the acting. And I think CM Punk plays a nice foil to Roman in that, but I would like this to mean something. We were speaking with Alex Palowski off the air, and he's like, well, there are no stakes. And I go, yeah, but beating Roman Reigns does mean something. That they have shown us that. But what this segment truly showed me is that Roman Reigns was never a babyface at any point ever. He never changed. He never did anything that was redeemable. In fact, the only thing that happened is there were people that were less likable than him that showed up, and then he handled them, and now he's the same way he's always been. There was no big babyface. He went away. That was his babyface turn. That's all.
Guys, get into your super chats and humper chats. We are going to let SRS go in a minute, but we got a couple more things to talk about. We do have Mate Normus just wishing us a happy Rusev Day. Well, happy Rusev Day to all of you. One of my favorite things I saw on Twitter was the day that Rusev got released. They were like, on Rusev Day of all days.
Yeah, I mean, it is a shame. Like, this man has been released twice on Rusev Day.
I know. Can you believe that?
But like, he's also been rehired multiple times on Rusev Day. So come on. True. It's a positive here.
We've got a little bit more to talk about, but we do also have this chat from Will who says, SRS versus Randy at Mania. Are you going to step in and teach Randy Orton how to do a drop toe hold finally?
Oh, I need to put Bet AG on this. Come on, let's go.
I was taught the drop toe hold by Billy Robinson himself.
Let's go.
And he complimented my drop toe hold.
It's a good one.
I will always hold that near and dear to my heart. I am a good drop toe holder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Alex.
Are you going to be inducted into the Midwest Toe Hold Hall of Fame? Because I'd love to be there and clap you on.
I would be shocked if I were ever inducted into any Hall of Fame. So.
I doubt that. I think there's probably ones coming.
Yeah, back. I agree.
We're going to circle back to Charlotte and Tiffany because we kind of glossed over that. But before we do, Draws was just a lovely chat saying, I've been loving Fightful for everything SRS and the team does for me. I lived on that $10 select tier. So
I'll promote that really quick. Nice,
but go ahead.
I don't put over. Thank you. I don't put over the $10 tier a lot, but we do have a $10 tier. The price of that did not increase when Select moved up a dollar. I was like, you know what? I want to keep that there. It's the early access tier. So when we have a Fightful Presents video, when we have like an action figure video, when Grapsody interviews somebody, whenever I interview somebody, when we have anything like special, we'll put it up on that early access tier. And you all will get that early. It is funny. I did actually have a cancellation related to that. Somebody said, send us a DM. They said, I was just so disgusted that you would put that Brian Danielson interview at a tier higher than $5.99. And I was like, friend, they've been on the $10 tier since 2018. You just got to wait like 3 or 4 days and they're on the main website for free.
Yeah, they're not even just on the lower tier. They're just straight up for free.
But for people who want to watch our interviews way early, and also I do the Fightful Wrestling Weekly, which is a collection of all of our stories at the end of the week, and then I will add to them. Like, there are so many things that kind of go unnoticed by non-$10 tier members that get added to some of these stories at the end of the week that I like to just kind of sneak in there. But
sneaks. We're going to talk about Charlotte and Tiffy, but we do have some more Randy Orton related chats, which I like. We get Bad Robot saying hello, favorite post show, and special guest SRS. And Roman did turn face, remember, said yeet once, and teamed with Sammy and the old Bloodline for a week. But I like this from Jason Knight saying, I wouldn't mind seeing Randy Orton versus Aleister Black. Now, that's an interesting possibility because we did get an Aleister Black vignette tonight. So I'll throw it to Sean if he has any thoughts on an Aleister Black debut. I think they could stand to make Raw after Mania a little more exciting than they've been. But let's also circle back to this Tiffy and Charlotte situation, too, because it sounds like there's more to dig into.
I don't have any thoughts on the Aleister Black, Malakai Black situation. Glad he's back. He throws a nice spin kick. But I think that if they needed an opponent, that would be a cool one. But he's got to win the match. Like, Randy Orton ain't winning that. He's taking a spin kick to the head. The Tiffany and Charlotte thing. Oh, boy. It has already been edited out of the digital segment. We are going to have more on the Scoops thread. It was a hot topic among the roster immediately. Like, there was, I will read verbatim one of the messages I got. Not watching the show, but what I'm reading, --, is this real or fanfic?
Whew. Oh boy.
It was messy. Listen, I don't know personally if it was scripted, if it was unscripted. The way that people are reacting is that the roster believes they were unscripted. And if that was the
live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, if they were somehow scripted, I mean, I just got a ha 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 bruh from one of the people on the roster. Like, everybody was just like, messy?
Yeah.
Type of thing. I
for
was
some
shocked.
Context, too, for people who didn't see it, there were just some some very intense barbs in here. The biggest one kind of being that Tiffany had said, you're 4-3 at WrestleMania, but 0-3 in marriages, alluding to Charlotte's divorce from Andrade, which she kind of just spoke about publicly on the first time on the Sherry show. Charlotte seemed to kind of give up part of the way through this and said she was going to let Tiffany have the last word, and it just kind of fell apart in the middle. So a lot of people were speculating that this was either never scripted, they went off the script, or whatever. It certainly didn't feel like in the vein of most WWE promos. So just for additional context, in case people were wondering what we were referring to, if you didn't happen to catch the show but are tuning into this, it was pretty wild considering, like, when they went out there, the crowd was firmly behind Tiffany Stratton, firmly anti-Charlotte. In the beginning, it just seemed like they couldn't even hear themselves. And that it went wild, because I'm not going to sit here and speculate over whether it was scripted or not, but like, it didn't really fit the story that they were talking about very much. It didn't really feel like it had anything to do with the previous promos. Like, this felt completely disconnected. So I can understand why people are kind of drawing that conclusion for sure.
Yeah. And then as Tiffany Stratton said what she said, she rolled out of the ring very quickly and was like, yep, see you, bye. And Charlotte says, well, why is Kaiser in my DMs? And shouted it over the top rope. Now, so it's one of those things where people are surprised but not surprised, because a lot of people felt like Charlotte walked all over Tiffany Stratton in the side-by-side, which is funny. When I was asked how I would build this feud, I said you should have Tiffany Stratton go up to or Bailey approach her backstage and say, I don't like you, but you earned my respect from our match. Do not let this woman walk all over you the way that she walks all over everybody. Play off of that. Somebody from the Fightful account had commented last month on a thing between them and said, Charlotte can't be the heel. And Charlotte replied and was like, why? Why not? You can't see? Like, it's surprising. And the takes from inside the company are flowing right now. I'm going to collect them all, try to write a very composed report on Saturday on FightfulSelect.com. The situation with Elia, he was at the Performance Center rehabbing, as best I know. Where is Bailey? She is on Raw working a program with Raquel, Liv, Lyra right now. She is going to face Lyra on Monday, of which Liv and Raquel will almost certainly interfere in. But
that is certainly the case. A lot of people with this take too, saying Liv Morgan deserves better, but we're going to get all in to this episode of SmackDown, talk all about the women's division. We've got plenty to dig into, but we're going to let Sean get to the scoops world, get some backstage reactions for you for FightfulSelect.com. Best $5.99 in the biz, or $10 if you guys like that $10 tier. But we've got a couple more chats here. One that just says, patiently waiting for Alex's ranting. So we'll bring him on for that, because we don't want to keep you waiting. But we also have Dream Ninja 77 just saying, late to the show, but KO is legit one of the most complete all-around performers ever. Such a bummer. If you watch the show consistently, you know I'm constantly rooting for him to win everything. Heel, face. I find him to be such a compelling performer. And there's something really special in wrestling, and you don't always see it. In fact, we'll talk about tonight what feels like a situation where we saw the opposite of it. Becky Lynch is very good at this. Bayley is very good at this. Kevin Owens is very good at this. Sami Zayn is very good at this. When you can see wrestlers being just unbelievably selfless with their opponents, I would say Seth Rollins is very good at this too. Like, when I think of his match with Omos, what he did for Omos, there's an unrepeatable value. I said all of those people have it, but they all have it in their own way. And there's an unrepeatable value that comes with someone like that. I had said before, he can cut a 5 minute long promo about how bananas are better than facing Aleister Black. He can make the Ezekiel thing work. He can have a decades long grudge feud with his best friend. He can make tag team wrestling a main event worthy thing. He can do spots like the Royal Rumble that evokes so much empathy, and he can be the nastiest bad guy and really pick up Cody Rhodes' title reign at a time where I felt like it really, really needed it. I just, for the performer that he is in the context of wrestling, I'm always interested in what he's doing. And when you pull back and you can see certain things, like how giving he is in the ring, and you hear things about how insanely respected he is, you never wish this on anybody, obviously, but your heart just rips apart because you just know that guy loves wrestling so much and doing what he does and who he's doing it with and for. So that sucks. But let's bring on Alex Pulowski, because when everything sucks, Alex Pulowski is here. Hi, Alex. I'm sad.
Yeah, no, I'm sad too. It's unconscionable that they would have the favor be a thing that doesn't even matter. Like we went full time since War Games for this favor, and now it's nothing, and I'm sad. Oh, you meant about the KO thing?
About Kevin Owens.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's honestly the worst. That's the worst thing that. That's the worst news in wrestling in a very long time, and I can't process grief, so I just turn it into rage. What the hell are they doing with the CM Punk? This doesn't make any sense. So CM Punk talks a lot at the beginning, says nothing. It's fine. It's Chicago. It's fine. So you go ahead. You talk about it.
He's from Chicago. He's married to AJ Lee, and he has a dog named Larry. And then... Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman says that he was late, but he meant no disrespect. And I question the travel arrangement scheduling of this company quite a bit, because Seth Rollins shows up in somebody else's SUV later. Roman's taking his sweet ass time to get there. But Paul Heyman says, I have a favor to ask you. Will you tell me what your favor is? Which is my favorite version of Pick Me Paul Heyman ever. Will you just tell me the thing? And I feel like he spoke on behalf of all of us. He said he was the voice of the voiceless tonight because Roman wasn't there. I think we were all like, just say what the favor is. And that's all Paul wanted to know. But he says with absolute certainty that he will fulfill that favor.
Right.
Without
knowing what the favor is or what it entails from him, he says, I guarantee I will give you the favor. I will grant it.
Legally, that seems like a very bad idea. But
also... speaking into a camera is legally binding. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. That's the same thing.
It's a verbal contract.
It's the same thing as signing your name to a document and getting it notarized. If you take a camera on WWE television and then like put it in front of you and speak into it, that's
it. It's basically a pinky swear, which as we all know is ironclad.
Entirely. Yeah. The final segment of the show was interminable. Like Roman Reigns' full entrance to stand there for a while and just say things as Paul Heyman goes, yes, my tribal chief. Yes, my tribal chief. Yes, my tribal chief. And we're going, the only reason we're out here is to get the favor from CM Punk for him to tell us what it is. He can't do that if he's not in the ring. And he can't come to the ring until Seth Rollins comes to the ring first. We all know this because we've watched wrestling more than once. So when Roman Reigns calls out CM Punk, we absolutely know that the first guitar riff of Cult of Personality is not going to hit. We're going to hear burn it down. We know that's going to happen, but they still made us wait 15 seconds of dead air before they play the Rollins thing because... to build the anticipation. And then Rollins comes down and he cuts a whole promo at Roman Reigns, knowing that he is there because he wants to hear CM Punk's thing, but CM Punk can't come out until he finishes talking. But he talks for like 5 straight minutes and then goes, oh, you know what? I came out here to listen to CM Punk. Let's bring him out. Well, then why were you talking this whole time? This is the most could have been an email promo ever.
Well, here's finally CM Punk comes out. Before Punk comes out, part of my frustration is we're close to Mania. And Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns have a very complex relationship, and they've barely touched it. Like, yes. Seth Rollins just for weeks now has been saying, you're underestimating CM Punk. He's more dangerous than you think. You could have cut this off at the head in War Games and other times, but, like, you haven't. And I'm like, he doesn't have a title, though. So, like, they should be getting into the complexities between the two of them and their extremely interesting and layered relationship. And it is just, they feel, maybe it's a Chicago thing. Like, they're just, you have to be thinking about CM Punk when you're in Chicago. Right. But like, my whole thing was Seth Rollins just straight up didn't need to be there. None of this involved him. But like, why are they talking about Punk? Like, I just feel like, I know he shoehorned his way into this triple threat.
Because CM Punk, like, is the most important person in anything CM Punk is remotely involved in.
I know that's they both why. Hate him. Like, I get that. I get that it's a Seth Rollins rival. But, like, it's he should have things to say about Roman Reigns, too. You know what I mean? Right. Like, yeah. He's not copacetic with Roman Reigns. He didn't even get a fair shot during his 900 year long title reign. He had one DQ match with him. So
he should be wanting to fight both of them equally.
Yeah.
No, but it's either this is a match between two of these guys and the third guy is shoehorned in, depending on whatever two guys you want to put in there. It's either Roman and Seth because they have all that history, and then Punk is in because. Or it's Punk Punk and Seth because they're never going to be done hating each other. Or it's Punk and Roman because of some weird thing over Paul Heyman that there's this rivalry because of that. You can't do a triple threat without having one guy be the third wheel in this particular group. So the third wheel here is Punk. It is. Because Punk needs to be in the main event of WrestleMania. Mm. Like, that's the deal. Like, his whole deal is, I need to be in the main event. There's no way this should be the main event of any WrestleMania. I don't care how big the guys are. You have titles. You have world titles on the line that aren't in the main event of the WrestleMania. But this is instead, with nothing on the line. If this was a number one contenders match, if this was a loser leaves WWE or whatever, if it was a mask versus hair match, there's nothing on the line in this match. I want to make sure everybody recognizes it because it's very important for the rest of my rant. There's nothing on the line in this match. So the favor is that CM Punk wants Paul Heyman in CM Punk. By the way, CM Punk tells a really good story of why he does, because when Heyman got fired, Punk was like, they're going to fire me if you're not here, because we're a duo. It's like, don't worry. When you main event WrestleMania, Heyman says to Punk, then make sure you bring me along and make them deal with us. Well, they're not here now, meaning McMahon and his cronies, although everybody except Vince and also Johnny Ace, they're still here, actually. They're actually still in charge. None of that matters. We don't talk about that. But now I'm going to make him deal with us. Mm-hmm. Make Roman deal with us. Make Roman deal with me and Paul Heyman. An insurmountable force. Me, CM Punk, well, I'm just the best in the world. But with Paul Heyman in my corner, I'm undefeatable. Which would mean something if there was anything on the line in this match whatsoever. If Punk wins, he gains nothing. If he loses, he loses nothing. There's zero stakes. Kate, do you know how few stakes are in this match? There are more stakes in a vegan salad restaurant. That's that's how few stakes are in this match.
There are no cauliflowers here. Pretending to be steaks.
Even if Paul Heyman was a master strategist and having him in your corner made you 500% more likely to win any given wrestling match, even if that were the case, and I don't believe it is, why have him in? Why make the favor for this match when there's nothing on the line in the current match? If the match was for a number one contendership, the winner of the main event of night one gets inserted into the Cody versus Cena match for night two. I'm not saying they should do it, but if that was the match, then this would make all the sense in the world to me. To get
even
under.
Even if it was. We think John Cena's winning, right? Even if it was for a shot at SummerSlam or Backlash, like, even if it wasn't night two, so that something was being fought for, I feel like that would go a long way in helping this. I just can't believe we're a week and a half out. Like, that's rough. But you're getting some love from people saying, I effing love Alex, several bricks at the moon. We got some love from me, Norma, saying, two Alexes, one Kate, six Clavs. That's meat math, partners. This was really unsatisfying in a lot of ways, and I don't mean just the lack of blue chew, which we don't even have as a partner today, but I Paul Heyman's already the object of affection here, so the idea that like I'm claiming him in my corner, I get it, and I liked Roman's reaction of, that's adorable that you think that's going to happen. He's my tribal chief. That's cute that you guys are friends. He's my tribal chief. Paul, tell him no. Tell him no. And then Paul Heyman and his dramatics has to agree to it because he promised earlier in the night blindly.
Bret Hart must be throwing up watching all this acting.
But the thing is, like, that shouldn't feel like the favor. That should feel like a... that they've made that the header when that feels like it should be a third bullet in the subtext to a it should be supporting a bigger thing, in my opinion, of, yeah, you think it's a fair fight because it's a contendership match, but now Paul Heyman's in my corner, how about that, rather than the whole kit and caboodle is now because Paul Heyman's there. If Paul Heyman is in your corner and there's stakes involved, that looks completely different. If it's for a title shot the next night or SummerSlam or Backlash or whatever, and then Paul Heyman gives you an advantage, that makes so much more sense. But as is, just for me, was kind of like just very, very unsatisfying. I really wish that Seth Rollins had a chance to dig in here more. They were running way out of time on this.
Thing that I liked about any of this was Seth corpsing over how stupid the favor was.
Yeah,
he was literally falling over laughing at how dumb the favor was.
Alex, I'm going to throw it to you for your thoughts too. Other Alex, Alex Cardoza, Alex down here. We got this man's thoughts. I feel like if he leaves somehow with Seth Rollins, that's the most interesting outcome here. Like if Seth Rollins decides he needs some sort of authority again, because that was the most successful time of his career, that's the only way to salvage any of this. So the favor was, I'm sure you're just tuning in because Alex just ranted so heavily about it, but... the favor was Paul Heyman's in my corner, not the tribal chief. It feels like a friendship bracelet. CM Punk is a friendship perv.
Paul Heyman is the friendship bracelet.
Personified?
He's an anthropomorph. Paul Heyman has become an anthropomorphic friendship bracelet.
I didn't mean to hurt Alex Cardoza's feelings by calling him Other Alex. He's just the Alex that wasn't.
No, you're not at all. Don't ever. How dare you even think that my feelings matter in anything.
I'll call Pulowski Other Alex.
No, you can call me the Other Alex. That kind of sounds interesting. And
just do it like we're in a grade school class. I'm Alex P and he's Alex C.
There you go. No,
it doesn't matter.
Real talk? There were five Kates in my kindergarten class.
Oh my God.
Kate, Katie, Caitlin, whatever. My full name is Kate, so I had supremacy over just the Kate aspect.
What was cool about it was even back then, she was doing a name in the bank match in the middle of the classroom with there were four five other of us. Kates. Yeah.
It was a ladder match. Here's the kicker. My kindergarten class, I went to private school. 10 girls in the entire class. Half of that, the ratio of Kate to anything else was 50-50. But enough about kindergarten. Though this kind of felt like kindergarten, Alex. Yeah. What did you think of our closing segment here?
Honestly, it's... this could have been an email, a Teams message. You know, like the dramatics behind it was just went a little too long. I understand that he's trying to play the head games, and I agree completely with Alex about, yeah, okay, if that's your end goal, cool. What are you going to win? Because there's no price at the end of it. You're going to win just bragging rights?
Bragging rights.
So this is, we're going back to that pay-per-view? You know? Yeah. So, it just, you know... I guess it's a blow-off match. They hate each other, and they're finally coming to blows. Right. If the problem will, and I'll leave it at this, the problem will start if we go from what we're about to see at WrestleMania, and somehow, if excuse my language, effing spills over to Monday Night Raw or next Friday, and it just continues to go. Then at that point, why did we do this? Why was right. Well, why is, you know?
Like, because everything is done both on Friday and on Monday.
And Monday, yeah.
So this is not only could have been an email. This is now we're going to circle back to this on Monday. Okay, everybody? Everybody take the weekend. We'll circle back to this on Monday. That's what this is. So here's the idea of Seth Rollins leaving would probably be like the big moment, but I need somebody who's like pitching that.
Yeah.
What does Seth Rollins get out of Paul Heyman being a Paul Heyman guy?
Yeah, I don't believe like, that in my head. Not, I don't know why.
10 years ago, where like being a Paul Heyman guy gets you like he will like fight for you to get a title match or something. Like that's not what this is.
But Paul Heyman
has been the wise man for the bloodline for so long that like what angles was he running trying to like help? None of it. Like it doesn't make any sense now. Like. The Punk and Roman rivalry, like Punk is just doing this to mess with Roman.
Yes.
But like, okay, cool. But what is it in aid of? When you mess with Roman, what does that get you? A better chance to win a match that means nothing. Like what? Like the favor should have easily been if you can get Paul Heyman can get things done or whatever. We got to figure out a way for it to mean something. Paul Heyman gets CM Punk into a title match. You got to figure out a way for like somebody that he's fighting. It has a championship and Punk's excluded, but he gets into it because Paul Heyman gets it into it because somebody at the top owes Paul Heyman a favor. I know that the people up at the top owe you a favor and you owe me a favor. So you're getting me into that Cena and Cody match. That to me makes sense because that's also Punk actually main eventing WrestleMania as opposed to this, which is main eventing night one of a buy one, get one for free or whatever the hell that was.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're very loud. Yeah. You might, if you want to lower your mic volume on the old Beacon software.
I can hear you.
But this is, and to that point and I'll end it here. That would blow the socks off my feet if they actually went that way where somehow, you know, friggin' he did something for Seth Rollins, which I completely doubt. There is no connection at all there. It would be just doing something just for the sake of doing it. And number two, it would I would sew my lips together if I were to see something where Punk wins, but hey, there was more promo after the match where he picks up and drops a pipe bomb. It didn't end with just this favor. He went above and beyond, and tomorrow I'm going to be injected into the match, or next week, or at Backlash, I will face the winner of, you know, Cody and whatever. Like, that would be like, oh, okay.
This whole thing with KO having to bow out because of neck issues and Randy Orton turning heel on the general manager of all people kind of throws a monkey wrench into what I assumed was the obvious title match for John Cena at Backlash in St. Louis. Babyface Randy Orton. If Randy Orton's turning heel so he can get a match versus the GM, then how are you pointing him back to to babyface versus heel John Cena by Backlash. Does that match not no longer take place and we're doing something else? John probably is filming a movie. What am I saying? He'll be here for SummerSlam next time we see him.
Well, I can tell you this, that I did an interview with a director who is who's doing a movie in Budapest or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not dropping his name because Kate will just yell at me. But I do got to say that John Cena is in his movie. And he was talking about how John flew out, did the pay-per-view, kicked Cody in the balls, and then went that night, got back in the plane, went back to Budapest to continue filming the movie. So yeah, he's busy right now. He's out there doing stuff. I ain't gonna say names though, because
hey, remember how Dwayne told John Cena to kick Cody in the balls, and then Travis Scott gave old Cody a potato in the face, and that was like a month and 3 days ago. And really, we haven't mentioned anything other than John Cena is a heel now who hates the people. That's fun. The road to WrestleMania.
The roads.
I'll tell you what the road to WrestleMania is filled with, my friends. Betting odds. We're going to throw it to BetOnline.ag so I can continue to figure out my audio here a little bit, but we're going to give you the dynasty rundown as well.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second. There's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag.
Yeah, Booker. Instead of, yeah, mailman. Yeah, Mr. Booker telling me who to put my money on.
I'm here for it. Well, BetOnline.ag, pretty accurate, it seems like. The one thing to keep a super eye on is it looks like the odds have shifted to Adam Cole upsetting Daniel Garcia or walking out winning that match. I kind of feel like this one is better. Like, I think Toni Storm probably retains, but I wouldn't be shocked if Megan Bain won. I want Swerve to win, but my gut just says Jon Moxley's retaining. So you can kind of play with some odds over at BetOnline.ag, but stay tuned to Fightful Select because we are 100% on lock pick so far. We will guide you in your 100 betting quests, people. We have not missed yet, and there's been like 20 of them or something insane. So head over to FightfulSelect.com for that information. I think Sean just drops some in the Discord sometimes too. So stay tuned. You can bet on wrestling. You can bet online at BetOnline.ag. But I think we've talked that final segment to death. And I would like to move
just
on.
Just like they did.
Because I am so sad about Kevin Owens. That honestly, genuinely, after that segment, I was like, the last man standing match was like, there were parts of that were super, super fun. I just was like,
you were talking about who Randy Orton should face if he doesn't face. The idea also of, I'm so terribly sorry. There's a man who may never wrestle again, but Randy, the real story is you may not have a match at WrestleMania this year, Randy Orton. I'm so terribly sorry. And Randy Orton decides he's going to hit that dude with an RKO. I mean, we could easily have done do the Aleister Black match. Like, have him say, Randy, I'm sorry. We obviously can't have that match with Kevin Owens. But you know what else we can't have? We cannot have WrestleMania without Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take the next 3 weeks. I'm going to find you a suitable opponent. And then Randy Orton comes out there. And then the lights go out. And then it's Aleister Black.
Well, it could still be that.
Not after the RKO. What is that? What is the RKO? Like, why does that make Nick Aldis more likely to help out Randy Orton? Why didn't he just suspend him for the rest of April? Like, that the RKO to Aldis tells me with almost 100% certainty it's Nick Aldis versus Randy Orton, which, like, okay, I guess it'll be fun to see Nick Aldis in the ring again, but
hell yeah, it will.
Against, he's not an active member of the roster. This should be an active member of the roster. That
yeah, has. I want it to be someone young. I want it to be someone young. You have Randy Orton, make a star, make Carmelo Hayes. What are we doing? Are you sticking around? Or are you out of here?
I'm gonna leave. I yelled a lot, and I'm sad about Kevin Owens. And, I mean, what? I mean, stick around and talk about the Hindenburg disaster that was that Tiffany and Charlotte promo. No, I'm just gonna go ahead and leave. So.
Check out Alex at SP3 with your Dynasty post show on FightfulSelect.com. I normally join him for those, but I'm actually gonna be at Dynasty, so I'm at Alex Sour Graps. But he will be live after Dynasty if you want to see.
Ladies
more
and gentlemen, Kate
of our favorite
pay-per-view names.
Oh please, it's not like I'm dropping names like you are over there. But let's zip through the rest of this episode of SmackDown since we're an hour in and talked about things.
Please.
Well, let's circle back because we got some information from Sean, but let's dive into this very odd face-to-face between Charlotte and Tiffany, because what we've kind of talked about is the off-script nature of it. We've talked about how personal the shot seemed. We talked about how weird it was that the Ludwig Kaiser line got thrown in at the end by Charlotte there. If you're just joining now, we had talked about the context of this where Tiffany said you're 4-3 at WrestleMania, but you're 0-3 at marriages, alluding to her recent divorce with Andrade, which she just spoke about publicly. This not only felt really weird and awkward and off script, but it also felt like an abandonment of any attempts at the story that they've been trying to tell. It was so bizarre to me. It was so bizarre to me because this should have been a home run story. Like, Charlotte comes back, wins Royal Rumble. Tiffany should have been saying, I'm the future, right? Like, you've had your moment in the sun. She says you're in this, that like, you'll always just basically be the second best Flair in this whole thing. Tiffany's voice was like uncharacteristically a little bit shaky. Maybe she knew what she was setting up for, but like, this whole story of them being, they're actually pretty similar characters with like that fray, right? They kind of just fork in the road at where they're at. So Charlotte coming back and little sistering her while Tiffany is saying, you had your moment. It's over. I'm retaining my title. Look at the other women I've beat. I've beat women that have beat you before. Like, things like that could have been so much better. So much better than A, what they've been giving us to this point, and B, whatever the hell this was, this like going after each other's personal lives thing is not the story they've been telling. So in addition to it being like clumsy and certainly off script feeling, and very wild and intense, it feels like such a departure of everything they've been saying to this point. So that's my other problem with it. That's the only thing that we kind of haven't already covered, that when I was watching this, I was like, what the heck does this have to do with anything that we've already spoken about so far? Like, this was weird to me. It was weird to me. What are your thoughts? We kind of let Sean take the lead because he was getting some backstage reactions in real time there, but love to know your thoughts on what we got here.
I don't know, man. It is same. Professional wrestling. Same. You know, it's professional wrestling. They could easily, you know, they've been doing some really great things with wanting to be more entertainment-y and, you know, movie, TV style, you know, soap opera. So could this have been just all something they had already planned, you know, and they were like, you know, say this, but we're going to cut it off from the end there just to stir the pot, you know? Like, I feel like they're doing a good job of trying different things. You know, from presentation to what they're doing in the ring. And, you know, so, I mean, we've seen little things, right? We've seen like the KO situation when him and Cody were by the bus. Oh, no one saw it, but someone with a cell phone was there.
Yeah, right? But that segment went as planned. This did not go as planned.
But like, did it? Or are they playing us?
No, because like Charlotte gave up halfway through it and Tiffany's voice was kind of crackly and stuff. Like they might have. This is not a report. I have not heard anything. I don't.
This is a report by Kate.
This is super not. I don't talk to either of these gals. But I could see a scenario where they say, you know what? We need to throw some heat on this. You know what? Stretch the script tonight. Or just, you know what? Just bring it on, Tiffany. Bring it on, Tiffany. And she says, oh, okay. I'm extremely new here. I haven't done that before. And things go awry. Or they were just set out there with no bullet points or whatever. But like from the, like, I don't think Sean would be getting that consistent a backstage reaction from that many people. But I understand what you're saying. I wish that was the case.
I'm just kind of giving them a little benefit of the doubt, you know, trying something different, just, you know, trying to be a little bit more positive, a little bit more content aware of what, you know, they're doing and seeing. But, you know, the other half of it is exactly that, right? The body language and what was going on. And unfortunately, I said this months ago. I said, you know, she's going to come back. And by she, I mean Charlotte Flair. And she's going to be tossed immediately into the top story. I said this. Where is she at now? She's in the top story going for the title, right? And she's been known to kind of like command the room. She fluffs up those peacock feathers, right? That's what she is. That's her ring. That's her territory. She claims it.
Yeah.
And when
and she usually gives women incredible matches.
Like, right. So pretty much that's everything. So I get it. You got someone with a little piss and vinegar now, someone young coming up, you know, doing her thing. She is the star of the show. She says something that, you know, might come off a little like, you know, spunky towards her and she didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? We've seen this happen in the ring before. Oh my God, we're off air. Are we off air?
What? There we are.
Whoa. Hi.
What's happened? There we go. That was odd.
That was maybe WWE. Aleister
Black is no Aleister Black showing up. I'm convinced he's just coming in here and mess with my stuff.
But that's how I feel. You know, part of me wants to give him a little bit of like creativity, love, and be like, man, this would be cool if it was that way. But obviously, you know, to face reality and see the other side of the coin, because that's what I'm going to give you chat right now is give you the other side of the coin. It's like, you know, you can tell in the body language what was going on. Something was deeper than what we were seeing. And so we will never know until maybe someone puts it out there. But
there were some things that were out there of one. Ibu had said that I don't know if this is accurate, so I'm just telling you what I saw. But he said that it was posted and then it was taken down, not that it was just never posted. So to me, those are two separate things. Like this, this segment wasn't taken off the presence of WWE. The other thing was that WrestleVotes, who usually does a pretty good job, said that this was not this went off script. So that like there were some things that they were supposed to be looking towards that they did not execute on. So whether it was that, like whether it was they had some things and they just went in a completely different direction, or they said let's be really loose with it because what we've been doing hasn't been clicking so far. Who knows?
It really has been, right? Yeah.
I do feel like they've just had no chemistry in this, which is kind of odd. So I can understand the temptation, right? To like, to try and jazz it up from both of them. But I mean, Norma's saying I didn't watch SmackDown, but it seems like a Bricks at the Moon kind of show. Charlotte and Tiffy will be a good match with a poopy build a la Bianca and Sasha. Jeez Louise. Yeah, people forget how bad the build to Sasha and Bianca was because it was an unbelievable match and a historic moment. And I always just think of Sasha Banks, Mercedes Bernardo. Like that shot that I don't even think it was on camera. I think just fans got it of watching Bianca celebrating in the ring with like a shit-eating smile on her face, like,
yeah,
we made a star tonight, is something that I carry with me forever. And Bianca just crying before the match even started and Mercedes starting to well up, like, those live with me forever. But that build was terrible. That was a terrible build. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We're working through this very roller coaster ride of SmackDown. Rafael Garcia saying, so do you think that Hunter's favorite WrestleMania is WrestleMania 2000? I really hoped it was a work a la Mark Henry, but KO deserves the world. Yeah, I kind of mostly talked about this with Sean too, but I'll let you say whatever you want about Kevin Owens. I'll say this much. I texted Sean because KO's really good at this. And I was like, we're positive, right? Because I had to change the title of this broadcast. I was like, we're positive that this isn't a work, right? And he was like, no, it's real. And I, in asking him that, was like, part of me is just asking because I so badly don't want it to be real. Part of me is asking because my heart is just in shambles for the guy. You know how much I'm at this guy's core. I was like, he should be Cody from the second they just started this. Like, I kind of said everything already, but like, this just, it just is awful. It just sucks. And reiterating that if he can come back to wrestling, the wrestling world will be better for it. It's so much more important to make sure that your health and your well-being are priority, because look at Big E, look at Bryan Danielson. Like, everybody gets different results from these things. So I just hope that he heals and has the easiest road possible ahead and gets to do whatever that he wants to do. But undeniable blow. You and I have been talking about, like, the things that we've been most interested in are the triple threat that kind of killed it tonight. This story, like this KO Randy Orton story, has been really interesting. I do wonder if they pull Sami Zayn off the bench in this, but what do you think about all this? How are you feeling about KO having to go away?
You know, it's good to follow your health, right? Follow your heart on your health and your symptoms and anything that could possibly be happening with you. Like, wrestling's great, WrestleMania, but you not being able to pick up your kids, play with your kids, you know, get up and run after them and hang out with them.
Can't pick up his oldest son because
I'm just saying, I'm saying in general, right? I mean, maybe he wants to suplex him. He's picking up freaking big dudes in the ring. What do you mean his son can pick him up and beat him? Right?
I'm just saying, he's not sitting on his lap anymore. No, that kid is huge.
Maybe, you don't know.
It's true.
But that's what I think. Follow your health and F everything else. Yeah, sure. We'll miss you. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you know, take care of that, because one wrong move, hell, all it takes is for you to say, oh, he's over here now, I'm going to look left, and crack.
Yeah, legit.
You pinch a nerve and you're stuck there on the floor, right? You don't. It's better for him to go out this way, as sad and as down as we are, because we're big fans of his, than us sitting here after a WrestleMania match going, this man might never walk again.
Yeah.
Because he's knocked out in the middle of the ring. You know, we saw it. I mean, I saw it with Paul Orndorff.
Sure.
Mr. Wonderful. I saw it. He came back late in his career into WCW, back again for a match. He looked shredded as hell. Took a pile driver. And that was it. You know, he had neck issues, didn't take care of them, and got stretchered out of the ring. Like, you don't want to see that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that there's more awareness about it now than ever.
100%. So... Back in the day, you couldn't even talk about this, by the way. If you said that you were hurting about something, that was it. That was your spot. That was your money. You got to figure out a way to get yourself healthy. In some cases, you know, if you're on the top of the card, you got that little extra boost from the guy in charge back in the day. You know, but other than that, like, you know, that was it.
Yeah,
that was it. So
I remember when Hangman and Moxley had that match where Hangman got knocked out just from the weirdest thing, from over rotating or under rotating on a lariat.
Yep.
We had talked kind of extensively that post show about how much progress has been made just in the concussion realm, and how even things like the term "he got his bell rung," like what that actually means is that your brain is injured,
your brain
right?
Is scrapped.
Not
yeah.
like, oh, your head got like knocked around a little. Like, no, it's serious stuff. So thankful we've made so much progress in wrestling towards those things because it's important.
That's in my brain, like I did not have any like sap again, nothing, like just please go take care of yourself. Like everything else is secondary to your well-being.
Let's pivot to the Randy Orton side of this before I cry, because I'll get so sad. If there's a few options here, right? One, an Aleister Black debut. Two, somehow they weave Sammy into this, especially if Orton is going heel in some way. Or three, wild card, Carmelo Hayes, an NXT talent who's ready, things like that. Like, what do you think, just first reactions on this?
Now that you say it like that, I 100% see more. Like, you know, was Sammy saying even doing anything?
No, I think a lot of people thought he'd come back to cost Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think at this point, you know, you might cut an angle where he's seeing him being stretched. You know, they do a lot of these, like, extra things now backstage, if you notice, where they're like, cameras keep on rolling, even though, and we don't see it till the following week, right? So, you want to, you know, mess around with my best friend? You and I, blah, blah, blah. WrestleMania. Yeah, you know, and then you kind of keep Aleister Black away because you don't want to put Aleister Black against Randy Orton in his first bout. That's
Randy Orton would have to lose is the problem.
Yeah, like you're no,
not gonna
yeah.
have someone as menacing as Aleister Black.
No, and plus you're coming back to the company. You got to kind of get that treatment of like beating up some, you know, local talent and or someone of lesser capacity standing in the ring talking, and then everything goes black and he throws
you don't want to
on you from the sky.
And I don't want a DQ either. I do think hopefully they like do something with Raw after Mania because they keep saying they're going to and they haven't. I think maybe Becky comes back, so like that alone would be enough. But
yeah, Becky versus Randy, why not?
Hell, that match would be awesome. That's like an intergender dream match that I like. Achievement unlocked.
He's always been wanting to fight women. You saw him and Nia Jax have beef in the past. So
let's keep moving along. Some more positive news. Some more positive news that we did get the debut of Rey Fénix tonight, who wins against Nathan Fraser with a spinning muscle buster. This is great. The presentation's been really good. These themes are freaking awful, man. I have been helping on the social media side for Fightful, and I'm like, the Canva stock audio is more inspired than these themes. They are awful.
And he got the same
Let them
intro.
Come out to silent films at this point. I'm so exhausted.
He got the same treatment as Penta 2 with the firecrackers in the back and stuff. Come on, guys. Let's separate the two.
Like, really good men. They do keep mentioning their brothers though, so I don't hate that. because I don't mind them having a common thread, even though they're on different tracks right now. Match was really good. Nathan Fraser's excellent. He's a great dance partner. He is in a tag team, which makes me wonder what we're doing with Rey Fénix here. If we are going to lead back to that sooner than later, but I feel like Penta's debut had maybe a little more zip, but I think that's just because he's such a different type of, like, Penta's a different type of luchador.
Sure.
And Rey Fénix is kind of a more, he's kind of more, I hate to say this because it sounds so like Americanized, but he's more of a quote unquote typical luchador, but not at all. Like, he does what we're used to luchador wrestling being, but he does it to the fullest extent of the law. Like, he's doing the most insane stuff where Penta, you're like, oh, you're really hard hitting and like not used to the acrobatics as much that we see with Fénix. His are bananas, like absolutely bananas, Rey Fénix. But it is more like what we identify as lucha wrestling, I guess. But what did you think of the debut? I'm so excited. It's so much fun to have options in wrestling where people are showing up all the time. We talked about that last week a little bit, but he's here. I think the best is yet to come with him. This was a really, really solid debut. I think we just like, we know what he can do, and we know that there's going to be even better stuff coming up in the future, but certainly a very strong debut here.
Yeah, same. I mean, I agree with you. I don't, you know, until he gets his feet wet and gets into more matches, you know, we can see where everything's going and how well he'll get booked. Who is he going to fight? Blah, 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 blah. You know, but other than that, great debut for him. I'm sure he's happy. Kind of, you know, they should have let him not cut the same thing as his brother did, you know, the whole WWE spew talk.
Yeah, but that's kind of like what like whenever somebody leaves WWE and shows up in AEW, they kind of do the same thing. Like, I think that's just, I've always wanted to be here. Here I am kind of thing.
Yeah,
so I feel like that's everybody's first promo when they show up somewhere. But
yeah, I mean, it'll be nice. I mean, I haven't seen him wrestle since Lucha Underground, so it'll be nice to kind of like see they fill that gap where he's been. The way they talk on the commentary table.
Well, they did mention, they said he's had like 5 TV title reigns today. So
I missed that then. Gosh, I was probably not paying attention because
no, that's okay.
Like that commentary table sometimes just gets a little bit too crazy for me.
It's also 3 hours long, so yeah, you're bound to miss some things.
That's exactly what it is.
They've been more evasively referential of late, which is a good thing. People work different places. It would be really weird if I showed up to work at Apple and worked at Samsung for 10 years and everybody was like, she worked in technology for
You were in college for 10 years and
and then traveled the world. Yeah.
What like, did I you do?
It's silly. But Tim McFowell saying, put Melo over Orton at Mania, make a star. That's like, they got to start doing that.
They'll do that when Randy starts winding down, when it's his time to go, and you don't have a young upstart in Carmelo anymore. You have a 44-year-old Carmelo.
That would make Randy like 60. That's
yeah. Well, do you think he's going anywhere in the next 15 years? I don't think so.
I kind of said at the beginning of the show, like, for Randy Orton to go from legend killer to picking on the younger guys, I think would be a fun heel transitional run. Kind of when Okada was leaving New Japan before he was calling everybody a bitch in AEW, he was kind of doing that, like trying to get the young guys in order and being this kind of like dickish heel. I think Orton would be perfect for that. Would be perfect for that. Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. Please do leave a thumbs up on this video. I'm not going to sell you too hard on Select because we had Sean on at the beginning of the show, but there will be things posted about the Charlotte and Tiffany situation. There'll be scoops for Dynasty this WrestleMania season and still contracts like crazy going. So we will have plenty for you for the best $5.99 in the biz. Not even $6, but $5.99. Well, we get two vignettes. We get this one from Drew McIntyre, who was sporting an eye patch, which is incredible. Like just leaning into the lore. And then we have another kind of mysterious one, which is, I think, largely suspected to be Aleister / Malakai Black. I love Drew McIntyre so much. He continues to be a petty king. We love that for him. And later we also do get Damian Priest, who has a vignette calling out Drew McIntyre for a face-to-face at WrestleMania 41. So they desperately need a stipulation for that match. I hope they get one. What did you think of the Drew McIntyre and Damian vignettes here, as well as there's not a ton of meat on the bone with these Aleister Black ones, but any thoughts?
Ready to see if they're going to perhaps fast forward this whole thing with Damian and Drew, just because, you know, I think they've done a lot of damage to each other already. We've kind of, I don't know how else they're gonna try, you know, like, why do you need a face-to-face at the biggest show in the world? You know, like, if anything, have a match, a Punjabi prison match, if you will.
That's the second week in a row that you pitched that.
So, and then have Aleister Black just come down, Black Mist,
people are going to interrupt. Think that this is silly. They should have a 2 out of 3 falls match. I think everybody associates 2 out of 3 falls matches with different like style wrestlers. Like they're not usually the big physical ones. These two have incredible stamina. And I would love to see a 2 out of 3 falls match between like two big ass dudes who can beat the hell out of each other. I feel like those always go to like the Johnny Gargano styles of the world, but like, let's do that with these guys. But let's talk our US title picture because we have LA Knight defeating Tama Tonga with Solo Sikoa.
Better. Yeah.
LA Knight picks up the win with the BFT. And then later we have what was a very fun from what I was watching, Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman last man standing match. I'll be so honest. Like I saw some really fun spots in it. I was just like heartbroken over Kevin Owens. Like when they said injured, I thought maybe he tore an ACL or something, like career threatening injury. I was not like locked in watching. I was really upset. So, but some good developments here. It's fresh blood in the US title picture, which we've been asking for a while, right? So I think Jacob Fatu has to win at Mania. I don't think you have him losing that match to maybe cause some dissension in the new bloodline that can blow off at WrestleMania Backlash. But what did you think of both Tama Tonga and LA Knight and then our last man standing match as well?
I'm a little confused with LA Knight because I want, you know, and I said this last week, are we planning on taking the title off of him? Does he really need it? Who are they going to prime to kind of like, you know, succeed and take over, right?
He's eternally white hot.
In times of
worst booking, that guy was still getting insane reactions.
He's like in my brain, he's in this weird limbo right now. It's like, because he doesn't need, you strip that title away from him, he's still getting the same reactions.
Yeah. And Fatu needs gold. Like, it's time for him.
So that's, I believe that's where it's going to go. You know?
I agree. And I hope so. I hope so. Some Nick Aldis announcements outside of the Kevin Owens news, which sucked. He says that there's going to be a gauntlet match to crown the number one contenders for the women's tag titles. My story for the women's tag titles, like my kingdom for a story for the women's tag titles, I should say. Like, they barely are on WrestleMania. And then when they are, it's this stuff. It's just this. I'm sure it's going to be Lyra and Bayley. It certainly feels like it's heading in that direction, which is extremely silly because you have two new women's mid-card titles. And I'm not sure either of them are going to be on WrestleMania because you have this white hot Naomi and Jade Cargill feud that we're going to talk about in a minute. But like, I just want more for the women's tag division, I guess. Like, I just want it to have the same... I mean, tag wrestling in general in WWE isn't, like, treated with the same care as a lot of other stuff. But the women's ones are beyond an afterthought at this point. Any thoughts on the gauntlet? Who do you think wins?
I have no clue, honestly. Like, it's just this poor women's tag team division. It's just like... It's failing. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because if I were to put if this was a regular job and this was part of my job and I had a performance review on being the person who takes care of the tag team women's division, I'd be fired on the spot because it's been horrific. They have made no stars from it. They have not pushed anyone to the moon. It does not feel special. The women to carry on those titles.
It's actually kind of crazy because I thought, well, surely if Jade and Bianca have them,
around
them will be fantastic. And we both said biggest women's stars. Yes, we were excited.
Yeah. And we're like, finally, they got lineage. Look where they're going.
Yeah. But same with Sasha and Bayley when Sasha was around. Liv Morgan is a megastar and they're not doing anything with it. So
I don't want to get mad at freaking Midnight.
I know. It was so much easier when we had the European tour and we were starting early.
Put them back in Europe.
You could watch them in real time with NordVPN.com. I'm just saying, but hey, we have a number one contenders match with your favorite tag team of all time, the Motor City Machine Guns, who defeat DIY.
Again, with by the way.
Schoolboy roll up from Sabin to Ciampa. Nothing I love more than seeing teams that have already faced each other a bunch lose via roll up.
You can't continue putting veteran teams like this, and by veteran I mean DIY, against, you know,
the young upstarts of
the young Motor City Machine. They're in the wrong town. I don't know why they're even getting love. You know, that's Detroit,
sure.
Michigan, rivals of the Illinois of Chicago's. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, cool, they were out there. They got a fancy new graphic with, like, you know, fire coming out of tailpipes. I don't know, man. They don't do it for me. I'm so sorry. They just don't.
You know what it is? Is it's like we have new exciting champions in the Street Profits and
this.
And these guys have already held the titles both times. You know, like,
they're so vanilla, Kate. They so vanilla. They come out, they cut a promo, they do their match.
They're vanilla, baby.
They do. I'm vanilla, baby. They go back to the backstage area. They have a, you know, we're this and that, and Motor City, brr, and, you know, we're gonna beat you. Like, there hasn't been anything. Like, the Street Profits have felt like champions, okay? They're mad. They're pissed. They're telling you in your face what they feel, who you are. And by the way, if you want to come after my titles, I'm going to break both your legs and replace your arms with them. All right? I'm calling you Mr. Potato Head. How do you like that?
That was a promo. Was a promo if I ever heard one. Threatening to turn someone into Mr. Potato Head.
You need to. They need that type of life and vitality in the promos, because they're not showing it, and they're just two dudes who are hanging out, chilling, and that's it. Like, having matches, they could have done this in NXT.
I mean, it is kind of like just everybody's trading number one contenderships in the tag divisions between the same few teams. There are some that I think are ripe for a call up from NXT. The problem is the Raw tag division's even worse. Like, it's brutal right now. But Ricardo saying, I'm home. Hello, lovelies. Well, hello to you, Ricardo.
And I feel bad because I don't want to seem like I'm being negative. It's just, but there's no attachment, right? If I'm watching WWE, WWE is no longer a wrestling company. Quote, unquote, out of Michael Cole's mouth. Don't come after me and don't clip this and be like, look what he
said. Everyone come after Alex Cardoza.
All right. That was by Mr. Michael H. Cole.
I hope. Okay. Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin come after you for this. I hope
they could try, but even if they stood on each other's shoulders, I'm still taller than both.
Whoa! So. Alex shoots on the motor.
You guys want a promo? Let's do this. I'll go to WWE, sign a 1-day contract. That's right.
You're like the celebrities that sign 1-day spring training contracts. Yeah.
I'm more like the guy who's going to clean up after the freaking ring gets broken down. Get the Alex boy in
Cardoza,
here.
Yeah, signs a ring crew contract. We're coming down the home stretch, guys. Not a ton left to talk about, but some fun things to close on here. We talked extensively about the unfortunate Kevin Owens news, and Alex Pulowski joined us to rant about the closing segment, which I agree with him on a lot of what he had said. It's not the strongest stuff there. My thing is, right now, with the WWE product.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Hot take coming from Kate.
It is. It's like a lukewarm take, because I think a lot of people feel this way already. And there's still a lot of upside in the character arcs we're getting. But the execution of those, reverting back to, I mean, rematches, DQs, yes, distraction finishes, like this tag match ending with a schoolboy. I was like, this feels like the Vince McMahon booking that turned crowds off.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that for WWE, and I don't want to see that for wrestling. I want fans to stay engaged, and I want the products to stay hot. And especially if the thing that is able to sustain your product is just booking it better. Like, that's such an easy thing to keep that momentum. Just like, think, just think outside the box a little bit. Don't do the same things on the same shows every week. We've seen the mid-card get diluted, right? That's something that was a big complaint in the Vince era. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to see WWE, because I do love wrestling and I do love WWE, yep, fall back into the same tropes that it so worked so hard to depart from. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot more diversity in the baby faces that are on your television. They're not all underdogs. There's still better promos. There's still better character arcs. There's still better long-term story. There's still all these great things, but the week to week has just fallen way off a cliff.
Yeah.
Way off a cliff. And the thing is that bugs me about that, feels lazy. Because yes, it's like the most fixable thing in the world to do. Most fixable thing in the world to do. But I'll tell you what absolutely rules this Naomi heel turn. Whew!
Mm-hmm.
I love the caution tape gear. I love her winning with this like modified code breaker against B-Fab. Mm-hmm. And then Jade Cargill just is brawling. She's just out here to brawl with Naomi. And I'm tired of pull aparts and brawls, but like, no, these two hate each other. Their Twitter game is incredible. You got to go see what they're saying to each other. But Nick Aldis says that they are going to go head to head at WrestleMania 41. So that's really, really good news. I'm so happy for Naomi that she has this to sink her teeth into, because for so long it was just kind of stalling out on her. But this feels great. This is like a title adjacent grudge feud. Yeah. And it feels hot and it feels productive for both of the women involved. And it's something Bianca can come back to after whatever happens on the triple threat side of things. Like, I'm so happy about this, because this is the kind of stuff that we need to see more of, like title adjacent feuds being great. Naomi could easily be doing this as a champion in the mid card, like they've done nothing with those titles.
Yeah.
So I'd also like to see the mid card titles pick up, but like, this feels like it is white hot going into WrestleMania. That makes me so happy, and nobody deserves that more than Naomi, because she's great. She's great. And I'm so excited that this heel turn seems to have rejuvenated a lot of the character that she's been building. What did you think of what we got here? Not a ton to talk about match wise, but this feels explosive in the way that you want it to.
Yeah, it's good for them. Good for them. They deserve, you know, this is going to be Jade's first real go around on her own.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm excited to see where they go with it. You know, it's been a while to see, you know, that we've seen Jade out there do her thing. I'm a huge Jade fan. You guys know this since the days when we used to cover Rampage. She was always one of my favorites at all times.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is great for me to see her, you know, try different avenues, see where she goes, how she succeeds in every single avenue. And, you know, when it comes to Naomi, Naomi's a well-traveled veteran. She's, you know, no spring chicken. She's done her thing. She's been champion everywhere that she's been, you know, put her presence in. She's come out on top. So I think this is going to be a great learning point, kind of like a learning tree, if you will, stepping up into the world here of, you know, feuds and whatnot for Jade with someone who's so good at what she does with Naomi. Very happy to see her and see where this goes. And I hope they expand on it. I hope they do like a trilogy. I hope that it gets worse. And by worse, I mean the fighting. I want them to, you know, give me a street fight. Give me a chairs match. Give me treatment. Sure. You know, the women should have the same treatment as the guys.
Yeah.
Let them go after each other.
It feels like at some point it's going to warrant a stipulation. Yeah. Whether they if it's one and done, they should just do a steel cage match now or whatever. But I like what you said about Naomi and her experience, and specifically her athleticism combined with someone as strong and powerful as Jade, I think is the right combination of ingredients to create a really good match. But man, people don't want to talk about the rest of SmackDown. They want Claves versus everyone. They want Bangs and Claves versus Marina and Mox. What are you trying to get me into, Meat Norbus?
Hold
Rita
on.
Rita Shafir is out here saying,
do it.
Do it. Do it, I dare you. You would never do that to your ex.
Look at this. Look at this. They're a little white, because I have not been out in the sun with the clavs out, but that's all about to change because it's in the 80s now. So I'll be in the backyard doing work.
Wait just a damn minute about this. Because this seems, look at what, bangs and clavs versus Marina and Mox. Whoa. You're sending me on a death wish.
Whoa.
Marina Shafir told Willow Nightingale she was going to feed her own liver to her. They're going to win that match by forfeit. I ain't showing up. Are you kidding me? Wait a second.
First of all, who said you're fighting Marina? Hold up.
I ain't fighting Mox.
I want beef with Marina.
She's going to...
I always want to get beat up. Like, I don't know. Like, if you guys notice, I have a whole thing here. Nia Jax, powerbomb me. I don't care. Jade, please crush me. You know, like, all these Piper Niven just freaking wail me and give me, like, a go to sleep. Like, I don't
you
care.
You want
to
get yeeted across the ring. My God.
Do it. I'm ready for it.
A lot of people weren't watching ROH when Marina Shafir was on it.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a submission called the Mother's Milk because it was in the chest area. It was very funny. Very the, funny name in for, the clavicle for area. That move. Yeah, it was in the, it was, yeah, just below the clavs, as they say. But guys, we are going to get out of here. Thank you so much for sticking with us. I know this was a little unorthodox of a show. And I know we're not on at 8 p.m. and now it's 1:45. But we
miss
do
you
appreciate
at 8 p.m.
I miss us at 8 p.m. and I miss all of you guys at 8 p.m. But there are still 8,000 of you, almost 8,200 of you watching right now. And it does mean a lot. It means a lot that you guys to continue to support us as we work through this WrestleMania season. Despite what weirdos say online, we are funded entirely by you guys and your super chats and your select subscriptions. If we are getting paychecks from one promotion or another, I'm the guy in Office Space who still hasn't received his paycheck. Yeah.
She doesn't talk for me though. I cash both checks, so I'm good.
Come on, man. You're stealing mine, aren't you?
That's what it was. They asked me.
Sincerely, we have a really wonderful, hardworking team here. No, nobody works harder than Sean to bring you guys the most information possible, the most accurate information possible. Sounds like Select is going to be busy this weekend. So head over there, $5.99. We do also have a free tier. I just want to emphasize for things like injuries, for things that are bigger than wrestling, like the sex trafficking investigation and stuff like that. Like we had 3 unfortunate AEW injuries this week.
Yeah, injuries, and man.
That's rough. And it feels icky to pay Walmart. That was a verbatim phrase from Sean one time. He said it felt icky. So I will turn around and also say that it does seem like an icky thing to do to pay all those kind of things. So we do have our free tier. Luis pointing out that Select and Select Espanol will be busy this weekend, folks. So there you go. For our Spanish-speaking friends, Select Espanol.
Espanol, por favor, vayan y suscríbanse a ver a Luis hablando de todo.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
En lucha libre. Profesional.
I was going to say that, but you got to it first.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, you sent me the script. I'm just trying to read it.
Well, if we learned anything tonight, it's to stay on scripts. But we're going to get out of here. Mr. Cardoza.
Everywhere that you guys want to find me, I'm just going to jump in front of you, Kay, so that way you can do your spill, because your spill is way better than mine. You guys can find me on alexiscardoza.com, and you can see all the beautiful linky poos that you guys can click on and follow me. The 90s pod is just on hold due to some, you know, there's been a lot of travel things happening here and there. So we're getting things squared away there to bring you guys that. But I did start a micro pod. By micro pod, I mean these episodes are anywhere between 5 to 10 minutes. And this one's called This Is Fine, A Millennial Diary. And I'm revisiting my millennial life, talking about the things that, you know, got us to where we're at and how good we had it or how bad we had it or why we're so effed up in the brain and why are we so panicky and have anxiety. Like, it's all there. I'm up to episode 3. I'm going to try to put an episode every other day or so because these are short. Yeah. So these are going to be fun. So if you guys haven't checked it out, you can find it on YouTube and you can find it on anywhere you get your podcast. But if you just go to alexiscardoza.com, you'll see the links there. I made it that easy for you and free. Okay.
I don't know what a 22-year-old like you was doing speaking about millennial life, but
well, I was born at the very cusp. at the very end there as Gen Z, is that what they call it? Yeah, as Gen Z were starting to come into fruition, I came into this world. Even though I have a 25-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old daughter. Yes, for those of you who don't know, I got a 25. She just turned 25 April 1st. Oh, so.
Happy birthday to her. Our great moderator, Luis, who was just in here plugging away, is recently 25 years old. So there you go.
Wow, happy birthday.
I know. Happy birthday to him. But guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. I'm here on Fightful most days of the week. I am helping out with our social media side now, too. So if there's anything you guys want to see more of, don't be shy about letting me know. I'll be at Dynasty as well. That's not too far from me, about an hour. So if you are going to AEW Dynasty, please feel free to say hi in a respectful way, but please feel free to say hi. Very much appreciate it when I get to see people in person. It's super, super fun. So have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. There will be a Collision post show tomorrow. There will be a ton of scoops going up, and there will be an AEW Dynasty post show on the main channel with just Sean, I believe, and then also on Select with Alex, who was in here before. Now I'll call him Other Alex because he's the Alex that I'm no longer referring to, or that isn't here. And SP3, who, if you watched the ROH post show for some reason, it was me and SP3. He's incredible about filling in when people are out.
He's amazing.
A huge asset.
Chicago native, by the way.
Awesome. There you go. There you go. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful and safe wrestling weekend. We'll see you next week.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.